take a slow walk on an island top, humming softly. I love the sound. When we leave the house, leave the door unlocked. It's okay. Then I thought. Place you wanna to go far.
It is time for Talkin' Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J, joined today live in the studio by Jonah and Jason Howard of the Americana Newgrass Band, the Cross-Eyed Possum. Thank you both so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And we're twins, so we'll say the same thing at the same time, almost everything.
So not only do you look alike, have similar hairstyles, have similar fashion sense, we're both wearing hats, but you also speak alike,
we're wearing the same broken, whatever these are called, I don't know exactly, river shoes.
Are you guys born and raised in Prescott?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're Arizona boys. I don't feel like that's a lot of people necessarily. Are there a lot of like Arizona born and bred folks out there in the world?
Not that I know of. Not that I've met, really. Like, we've been out here and it's like New York or like Colorado, especially because we like are in the bluegrass scene. But totally. It's like the people that we meet that play instruments, it's like Arizona. Not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, you're repping the state. What do you think it means to be from Arizona? What does that feel like for you guys?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I feel like there's a thing where people think the entire state is a desert, but it's like our job to prove that we live in a place that has pine trees. So it's especially when we're in Colorado, we're like, we're cool too, man. It's okay.
That's true. Colorado definitely has an attitude. It's like, oh yeah, like our southern wannabe or something. There's some snobbery.
Dude,
involved.
I'm a total wannabe. I want to live here. This place is awesome.
Yeah, it's as nice as it gets here.
No offense, Arizona.
Well, let's talk about music a little bit. You guys started with a middle school band back in what, 2013? Yeah. It was a rock band.
Dude, did you do your research?
That's my research a little bit.
That's great. Yeah.
So that's your origin story. Let's talk about how the band has evolved since that sort of middle school rock band vibe. Yeah. How have you changed?
I would say it's been a completely different band about four times. And where most people would change the name, we kept it, which is, you know, funny because it's a goofy name. But
it's a totally, can we talk about the name for a second?
Yes.
That's like, I actually like usually hate that question when I talk to bands, but for you guys, the Cross-Eyed Possum deserves some recognition, and I think it deserves a conversation.
Oh, dude, yeah. I wish we had a more interesting story. You should make something up real quick. That's better than
that. I'm not going to make something up.
What's the OG story?
Well, when we were really young, we went to the petting zoo in Oregon, and there were lots of different crazy animals they brought out. Like there was this baby wildcat and a baby bear, and I don't know, just like these predator babies. And then out of the blue, this just random messed up looking cross-eyed possum in a bag. Like it wasn't, you know, they brought them all out on leashes, but this guy was in a bag. I don't even think he could move. And he was just like,
dude, his eyes were like popping out of his head.
Yeah, they were popping all the way out and cross-eyed. It was a big memory for us, as you can tell.
Formative, in fact.
But for a while after that, we kind of forgot about it. And then when we formed the band, we were like, oh, what do we name the band? And we watched a slideshow with our family, and that picture came across with us holding this like messed up little thing.
Oh my God!
And our mom was like, you should call it that. And we're like, oh, okay, we'll do that.
That's actually a great origin story, I feel like. I want to talk a little bit about, you guys both studied music growing up. You've got classical jazz background, which you certainly hear in the way that you play. And you've moved more into the Americana newgrass genre. But can we talk about how that early musical learning informed or is a foundation for the music that you play currently?
Yeah, of course. Well, for me, the whole Americana influence actually was a part of me going into classical music. Like, the reason I started doing upright bass and the bowed stuff and all that was because of a video that I saw of this thing called the Goat Rodeo Sessions with Edgar Meyer, who is the best bass player of all time, in my opinion. Although I'd say he's like about tied with Paul Coart. So. But that kind of got me into the whole bowing thing. And I don't know, my kind of philosophy of like, how do I become more like Edgar Meyer was, I need to study classical music for the technique and jazz for the understanding of music theory and all that, and kind of put those two together, and I hope it comes across.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. And it's interesting just the way that you can then, it's not a rigid, like classical isn't rigid, I don't want to call it rigid necessarily, but it is sort of, there's a methodology to it,
yeah,
right? So to be
sure.
Able to take that knowledge and then play a little with it seems kind of exciting to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it does make it really fun.
Yeah. Anything to add?
That, but the jazz version with Julian Lage.
Ah, interesting. So we've got the classical with one twin, we've got the jazz with the other, and then we've got the melding of the minds.
I would say so. And he did a lot of jazz, too, when he's studying. He, like, basically double majored in both of it. But, yeah, we went to different schools. That was kind of a weird experience with that whole thing. I just did the jazz thing. You did both of them, but separate places.
Mm.
Which is kind of cool, too, because then it's almost like you can trade the knowledge that you picked up in each place.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, and we had some individuality. I don't know if that's how you say the word, but for the first time in our lives. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, how was that, just to be apart from each other?
Not very fun.
You guys are pretty bonded.
It was weird.
Like.
It was like kind of crappy, but it was also kind of awesome in some ways because, you know, we became people, maybe. I don't know. We
that
always had an excuse
nice
not
it.
To make friends growing up because we had each other, which was great, you know? But it was also like, oh, wait, we gotta like, do stuff. We gotta, like, talk to people and, like, you know, especially in this music thing, you know, you gotta, like, get out there, at least for the sake of fun and relating to other people who like to do the things that you like to do and all that. And, yeah, I would say we did a lot of that in college, for sure.
Mm.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. We just heard Should Have Known from the Cross-Eyed Possum, Jason and Jonah of the band joining me today. I'm curious for you guys, what do you feel like is a super valuable lesson you've learned about the music industry in the last couple years?
I would say my big cheesy one is believe in yourself for any musicians that are listening. You know, like for a long time, I feel like we shot low, you know, just trying to get into like the, you know, first level, second level, third, you know, shoot for level 10, I would say, you know.
I agree with that. Yeah, we've booked so many tours that are just like, you know, low level bar gigs, which, you know, there's nothing against that, but
they can be fun. Yeah, but
they can also not.
Yeah.
And after a few years of doing it, it tends to lean more to the side of not super enjoyable. Because, you know, especially in acoustic music, if you're playing in a bar, nobody's listening. Especially if you're dynamic. If you're not loud the whole time, they're not going to listen. So.
And then they're missing the subtlety, which is kind of the genius of lot of acoustic groups.
Absolutely.
I feel like you guys ride that line really nicely where, like, the subtlety and the nuance is like where you want to be, where you want your listener to be. Too.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
There's a quote, and I don't know who said it, but that is always floating around in the music world. Like, once you pass learning the basic levels of your instrument, where they say the most important notes are the ones you don't play, which I disagree with, but I you know, there is merit in that saying, because those are the subtleties, and leaving spaces, you know, it can be hugely dynamic in the music, and that definitely won't come through in a bar where people are screaming and, you know, drinking and all that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but.
Yeah, different vibes, kind of. It brings up an interesting thing, too, about, like, quality versus quantity of shows that, like, I think it can seem like a really good idea to book as many shows as possible because you're getting the word out there. And then maybe out of the 10 shows you do, you resonate with, you know, a couple listeners in each place or a couple listeners in half of those shows or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also, like, a drain, I feel like, that takes on you as creatives, especially to have to, like, you're showing up every night and you're giving it your all.
Yeah.
Regardless of the audience.
For sure. Yeah. And those shows where the audience doesn't care also happen to be the shows where, instead of playing a 45-minute set or a two-hour show, you're playing 3 hours and getting paid humongously less than most other places. So it's like...
Yeah, I'm cool with the two 45-minute sets.
Yeah, it's like...
That's what I like.
Triple the effort, triple the emotional damage of nobody caring and no pay whatsoever. I mean, you know. Gas money, but
minimal. Yeah.
Which we have tacked on a couple of those shows on this tour. When there's a, you know, like a 12-hour drive, we're like, oh, we can't do that and not have the gas money.
Yeah.
So we'll tack that on and
make
sense of it. But it is draining, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is fun to play the music, like, wherever we are, you know, like that's the real beauty of the whole thing. But especially when you're in a place where you can like hear yourself too. Like, it's like there's just so much more reactivity and interaction happening within that music. Like we're saying, those dynamics. I mean, it's like the improvisation is at the core of the heart of the thing when you're doing that. And it's like, oh man, I love to have the space to do that. You know, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of just touched on it, but what do you guys love about what you do?
Being able to play, being able to communicate, like, I guess with the audience and with the band members, and I don't know, just being able to create art and, you know, do that art in front of people. That's such a cool thing to be able to do. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
and
have it feel like art. Sorry.
That's wonderful too. Yeah. But a growing joy of this that I didn't expect, really, cause I'm not really a people person myself. I'm kind of an awkward dude. And in college, when Jonah was growing and learning how to be social, I was running off to the woods and being a hermit, you know, doing the van life thing. But one of the things that's growing that I enjoy about it in those nicer venues is connecting with the audience, because they really do care, and it's you know, it's fun to connect with people, especially when you haven't for so long.
You guys have two albums out. What is your hope for the future of the band, or what are you kind of percolating on right now?
Oh, so many options.
Lots of different ideas.
Yeah.
It was kind of a funny experience. We picked up a banjo player in Gray Fox, just kind of on a whim, because we were doing these jams every night, and this guy named Carson Moore plays, I swear, as good as Bela Fleck. He's insane.
Amazing. That's high praise.
Yeah, and he's just unbelievable. And fortunately, we were playing a show near his hometown, like a week later or something like that after Grey Fox, and he was planning on flying back. But we got to talking, and we had a few shows on the way, and we were like, hey, you want to hop on the tour and join us for a leg of it? And he was like, heck yeah. And it was, I don't know. We want him in our van now.
Cool. So you're courting him? I feel like musicians are, yeah. It's like dating, you know? It's like, you want to play with us? You want to just a couple just shows? Like you want to hang out? And then, you know, you want to make this serious?
Yeah, seriously, dude. Oh, my gosh.
It was just like that.
That's a great way to talk about it right there.
Yeah. And it was funny because he studies, like, jazz and all sorts of crazy, interesting stuff on banjo, which is just beyond impressive to see. And from that, like, his improvisatory abilities are so good that he was able to just hop on to our set, like, even with the weird harmony and stuff, you know. And it wasn't easy, but he killed it. It was unbelievable. So
that's awesome.
Stuff like that, like, for the future, I mean, we're definitely considering having him on our next album, which we're probably going to start recording as soon as we get home in a couple of days. Him and probably a violin player, I'd assume.
I would like that for sure, and I definitely want to play more electric guitar on this one.
Yeah,
we've been making a comeback
a little bit.
Yeah, cool. With that electric stuff. After we've been talking about all this acoustic thing,
yeah,
I gotta rock out, dude, just a little bit.
I think it's nice. I think there's more conversation in the music industry of, like, not confining yourself to one thing or one genre, or like, it seems like people are really, like, musicians are begging to not be put in a box, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you want that artistic freedom. You want the space to be able to, like, go in that direction if you want to go in that direction for a little while, for as long as it feels good,
yeah.
And then return to the acoustic or try something totally new. Like,
yeah.
It's nice to feel like you have creative and artistic freedom, because otherwise, what's the point?
Of course, dude. Of course. Yeah. Well, we come from all these backgrounds. Like, before we even played music, like, our favorite band was Pearl Jam, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, we got to honor that a little bit.
Yeah, you got to respect your roots.
Oh, totally. And it's like, we love our roots.
We heavily rejected it because we started, a while ago we won this competition for bluegrass, and that's kind of what spun us in this direction. And then we kind of, like I said, we were going down that rabbit hole, and we're like, no, we won't do anything like Pearl Jam or any of that. And once we started, you know, kind of re-endorsing that in our writing, we kind of opened back up again.
Yeah. What do you guys feel like is really important that you want to remember moving forward? Like, what's something that you want to make sure that you don't lose touch with in terms of, I don't know, just like method, culture, band, inspiration, how you take care of yourself, whatever it is. Like, what's something you want to hold on to kind of regardless?
Oh, just open mindset. You know, don't close any doors, you know. And it's like we talk about writing ourselves in a box also, but it's like those can also be very educational at the same time. You know, it's like somebody asks you to write a song about something that you've never written a song for. Like, it's like if you are new to the bluegrass thing and you do a song for that, it's like, oh my gosh, that opens so much up. Or if it's like,
yeah.
Hey, write a song like in the reggae style or like, you know, anything like that, that you just, maybe you haven't done that before. It's like, I never thought about that before. And it's interesting too, because, you know, we talk about boxes and really it's not like anybody else totally putting you in a box. It's like,
it's
oftentimes
ourselves.
It's ourselves.
I was more so talking about like we were talking about how we do like interesting harmony and stuff. But for a while there, we were getting writer's block, I think, because we were like, okay, this has to be super weird.
This has to be super
we
interesting,
have to do it
dude.
Very, like it has to be so completely abnormal.
Because you're like, it's our thing, you know? It's our thing now.
Yeah.
But then it's like, maybe we should try to write a pop song and see what happens. And it's like, oh my gosh, I hadn't even considered that. And then you write the song and it's like, now I have this whole new box, this whole new tool set. And it's like, you know, it's like the horizon just keeps getting bigger. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So yeah, just keep that horizon open, you know? Whatever you try to do, that's what I would say.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Jonah, Jason, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks,
yeah,
for,
thanks
having
for
us.
Having us.
That was Jason and Jonah Howard of the Cross-Eyed Possum. We're going to go ahead and go out on Through the Haze off their latest album. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can visit our website, kvnf.org, or you can tune in on the KVNF listening app available in your mobile app store. Thanks, as always, for listening.
place. Well, now they got the ground, I see black. The road about to be miles back. Lost my opportunity to take flight.